they up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Daddy working in a coal mine, going down.
Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Good to have you here on this Wednesday morning as we continue our conversation on Saskatchewan energy. Coal plants. I mean, if you think back to earlier this month, we had a number of guests on the show talking about the cost of electricity production, energy production in the province. We started with NDP's Alina Young, who revealed that they were leaked an internal SaskPower estimate suggesting that extending the life of coal-fired power plants would cost billions, well over $20 billion. I think 26 was the number. Now, the government has said $2.6 billion to refurbish the coal-powered plants, and we had Minister Jeremy Harrison on the show to talk about that, Minister of Crown Investments. So I've said this a couple of times. I'm a guy who doesn't have the expertise and the knowledge. I just want to know we're taking the right financial decision as a province for not just my current life, but my future generation, my families into the future, and that it's reliable. Right? We can't have interruptions in heat, for example, in the wintertime. So those two things, pretty important. I was reading an article the other day where an economics professor at the University of Regina was quoted in there. Further reading, he specializes in energy and electricity policy here in Saskatchewan. And I thought, Brett Dolter is the guy that I'm getting onto the show. Brett, thank you very much for popping by the studio.
Great to be here.
So how is it that this is your specialty? You specialize in exactly this topic.
Yeah, what a weird niche. So I went and got a PhD, and my PhD thesis was how can we meet Saskatchewan's electricity needs into the future out to 2050. So that was my thesis. So I've thought about this quite a bit.
So what was your thesis? Maybe we should ask that question.
Well, it was funny because, I mean, I finished that over a decade ago. And at the time, nobody was talking about coal being past 2030. I mean, we had regulations on the books since 2012 under Stephen Harper saying these things had to get retired by 2030. So that wasn't even part of the scenarios. And so we're looking at what are the different options, different mix of gas, renewables, consideration of nuclear. There's different things you could do, more or less imports. So there's a mix. Like there's different scenarios we could pick, and they all have kind of pros and cons. And it was weighing those. And I think, I mean, SaskPower in the past has actually done a good job of presenting those options. A few years ago, they were going out to the public. Here's four different ways we could get out to 2050. None of those included coal. And they were looking at the cost of each of those pathways. So I think I'd like to see us getting back to that, actually. Some of the work I've done a decade ago, some of the work SaskPower did 2 years ago to say, here's the options and here's the real costs and the full costs.
Brett Dolter is my guest, professor of economics, University of Regina. So, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of people confused because we've got two very polar opposite discussions. One side saying the cost of refurbishment is $2.6 billion. The other side saying, nope, $26 billion. Where's the truth in there? Are you able to net that out for us?
Well, to some extent. So based on what we've seen from those leaked numbers, we can see there's this capital cost that's been stated of $2.6. The leaked document actually had this $11.4 billion number. It's not clear how much of that is capital. There's also a category called sustainment capital, and it would be nice to see SaskPower put that number out there. Like, what is the capital? What's the sustainment capital? So again, SaskPower could help us with those numbers, but we do want to compare. If we're going to compare pathways, we can look at the whole cost. And I think it's important when if you buy a car, I think I've heard that metaphor. You do want to look at the whole cost. What's your fuel efficiency? How many repairs does it need? So you want to see the whole cost of the system. So the whole cost of a gas and renewable system is not going to be $2.6 billion either. It's going to be more than that. But looking at the numbers, I mean, I'm finding if you build 1,500 megawatts of gas and 1,500 megawatts of wind and a little bit of solar in there, so more wind than solar because it's a bit cheaper, you can get to a total all-in cost of $17.1 billion to run that from now till 2050. So you're at about two-thirds of the cost without carbon pricing. And you've managed some of your risks. You've managed your regulatory risk. Right now, I mean, you used to work in law enforcement. I know that. What we're seeing right now is SaskPower saying we can go with this coal pathway as long as we can break three laws. We can break the coal-fired regulations, the clean electricity regulations, and we don't have to do any carbon pricing. If you have any one of those that actually has to be enforced, coal doesn't work. Carbon pricing on its own, you start to put carbon pricing on coal, it is three times dirtier in terms of greenhouse gas emissions than natural gas. So that becomes very expensive very quickly. And we've just seen Alberta make a deal with the federal government not to eliminate carbon pricing, but to keep it on industry, and included in that throughout the deal has been the electricity sector. So if we have carbon pricing on our electricity sector here on coal, that turns into a scenario where you're about three times more expensive than the gas and renewable scenario. So mm-hmm. there's some contingencies here. Are we going to have to meet emission reductions? I mean, that's one question. There's another question about what's the price of gas going to be. So that's the risk I think the government has outlined. If we're depending on gas, what if that price goes up? And that's where you'd see the role for renewables. You know, I think about if you're growing a garden in your backyard, you don't want to just depend on rain to water your garden. You're going to have your garden hose backing it up. But the rain means you don't have to buy as much water. The wind and solar, when you have that on the system, that's just reducing your fuel cost. You're not buying as much fuel. So you want that mix to reduce your reliance on what's mostly Alberta gas.
Right.
So that's a mix that, by my numbers, looks like it would actually be cheaper and reduce some of that risk. And we're not alone in that pathway. So the U.S., look at the past 8 years, the top three things they've built in the U.S., 98% of what they've built, first solar, second gas, third wind. That's 98%. They haven't built more coal. Coal only leads in the U.S. in terms of being retired the fastest. But in the past 8 years, they've retired, of all of the things they've retired, 61% has been coal. So it's not actually going against any grain to say gas and renewables. That's what the North America has been doing.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting today with Brett Dalter, who is, again, professor of economics at the University of Regina, who specializes in Saskatchewan's electricity policy. So this notion that we own the coal, I mean, that's been a big piece of this discussion. We own the asset. My understanding of natural gas, even speaking with people in the mining industry as well, we produce a bit here. We can no way produce enough for the consumption that we would be using in a typical year. And so that has to be an imported. So are you, like you've said, you've done some calculations. Is it comparing the cost of the coal that we own, but then the cost of mining it? Is it completely comparing apples to apples when you looked at the natural gas option?
Well, I think there's that political lens that comes in and says, well, hey, we want to do coal because it's in the province. We don't want to rely on anything from outside. And that's where the economist to me comes out and say, you know, if we did that for every good and service, you know, we'd need a computer manufacturing plant here. We need a cell phone manufacturing. So there's gains to be had from trading. And if someone can give you something cheaper than you can produce it, then trade with them. And that means you'll have a reduction in cost for ratepayers. So, I mean, the numbers I'm running here, if gas stays at $3 a gigajoule, that's an if, you know, we're saving close to $9 billion over that period of time. So that's about $360 million a year. So that's about 10% of SaskPower's budget. So if you can reduce or keep the pressure off rates, you can keep rates from going up that 10%. I think that's a better deal for everyone in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say let's forget about the coal communities, though. I think we've got to be really careful. I come from a Crown Corp family. My dad was at SaskTel his whole career. So I think we've got to make sure we support those workers. And SaskPower had been planning to do that. I mean, guys who are getting to retirement age, give them a nice package. Guys who are young, help train them to get into being a lineman or be in another industry. You know, if people are having trouble selling their houses, SaskPower could step up and offer some supports. Buy those houses. If you're going to be building an SMR, an Estevan, you need hundreds of workers, you might actually want to own some houses there so they can live somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I think there's things that can be done to help those communities in this situation. You look at, there's a town that used to be called Asbestos in Quebec. They shut down the asbestos mine. It changed its name. I looked at the population. Population's about the same as it was when they were mining as it is now. So I think it doesn't mean the end of a community to have an industry leave.
And I think that's a big part of it. I've talked with friends of mine that live both in Estevan and Cornac. Those are two examples of communities that, you know, I think part of the challenge is that gap between coal and nuclear. So if the goal is to retrain people that are going to stay, live, and work in the industry into this phase into nuclear, that still is potentially a decade away. Is that work there tomorrow, for example?
Well, I think it's a good point because if you're trying to repair and run these coal plants, those are the same people you want to be training. It might take them 3 years to get that training. So by the time you retire those coal plants, 2030, retrain for 3 years, like they were looking at that decade. Then we're actually at that 10-year mark. So I think it starts to create labor problems if you are keeping those plants running that need a lot of repairs.
If we go back to the scenario that you had worked out where renewables are a big part of at least alleviating some of the pressure on the electricity in the province. What needs to be done, and maybe I'm asking you to step outside your area of expertise, but to incentivize that in the province, because right now we don't have any substantial solar or wind power generation in the province to the extent that we would need it if your scenario were to roll out.
Well, I mean, we do have this central planning agency. CESPower is not unlike other provinces. We've got one agency that's doing the planning. And so it is their decisions that will dictate what gets built. And they have been increasing wind and solar. And they had previously had, till about 2 years ago, a plan to be at about like 3,500 megawatts of wind and solar. So that was actually, you know, it's not my plan to say we could do more. They said we could do that if we had the gas, which can, you need gas plants with renewables because they can ramp up and down quickly. Mm. Coal plants are pretty slow to ramp up and down. It's not good for a coal plant. So they're built for another era when you just had that, you turned the switch on and that was running and you didn't have to worry about it going up and down. Gas works well with renewables because it can go up and down. And so the facilitating thing is it's actually retiring coal. So you have a more flexible, responsive grid. You've got these gas plants that can respond and then just putting out those RFPs and getting that cheap power. I mean, they're averaging about 4 cents a kilowatt hour for wind. It's, you don't really need a subsidy or incentive right now. It's just cheap. That's why everyone's building it around the world.
Is the unpredictability of the cost of natural gas a factor in this at all?
For sure, for sure. Yeah, so you don't want to be saying we're going to just be all gas. I mean, I think that's the role of renewables is to reduce your exposure to gas price increases. And I think that's where let's have a deeper conversation. Let's talk to Alberta and ask them in their market analysis, we're opening up LNG. What's the price of gas going to be in 5 years, 10 years? Can we say that? Because you know, if it's $3 gigajoule now, gas and renewables is cheaper. Only way you get to about equal with coal is at $8 a gigajoule. We haven't touched that in a long time. We got a little bit close to that in 2022. We're at about $7 a gigajoule very briefly when Russia invaded Ukraine and you know all the prices went up. But right. So you got to be aware of that. And I mean, you know, build up more renewables, have that fast reacting gas. So you just buy less gas. And there's other technologies too. People are talking about compressed air energy storage. That's a whole other thing. You'd have a whole other guest talk about that. But there are ways to try to reduce your gas bill.
Brett Dalter is my guest this morning. We're close to the end of our time here. But the announcements by the federal government over the last week with regards to electricity doubling down, basically, in the amount that is generated here, and some of the handshakes that we've seen go along with that, the Alberta one probably the best. Does this open a door for Saskatchewan? Does this where do you see that?
Well, it's interesting to watch. I mean, I wasn't sure how the Carney government was going to approach electricity policy, climate policy. They've taken a lot more of a, you know, it's a friendly approach to especially Alberta and I imagine Saskatchewan too, and saying, hey, we're willing to give a little if you're willing to give a little. And so I'm sure there's negotiations happening right now. And I'd be really curious to know what that's going to look like, because nowhere in the electricity strategy the federal government put out does it say we're going to keep burning coal. I mean, right now, Saskatchewan's getting close to 25% of the national electricity emissions because we're one of the last holdouts. Ontario phased out coal. Alberta phased out coal. You know, us in Nova Scotia.
Does that add to our dependability, though?
It doesn't
because
have to.
We're sending electricity to Alberta at some points when the wind isn't blowing and they need it in the wintertime or during the heat of summer.
Well, exactly. Yes. You need something you can turn off and on. So that's where you got to have the gas capacity. So, right. So I don't think anyone's going to say, let's build only renewables. You need to have a plant that can turn off and on and you want it to be reliable. I think we actually have to think a bit about, are these plants that are 50 years old reliable? Like, you know, if I was going to make a decision on my next house to buy, and I heard a discussion about, you know, you want a dream house, but you don't want to buy a money pit in the meantime. You don't want to buy something you got to sink billions into just to, you know, keep the roof from leaking. You actually want, if you have a modern plant that's cheaper to run, that's probably a good investment to save up your down payment.
We're at the end of our time. I'm sure we'll chat again, Brett. I appreciate you coming in, knowing that this is the work you do. There'll be other opportunities for us to connect.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Brett Dalter is my guest, professor of economics, University of Regina. Again, specializes in Saskatchewan's electricity policy, a discussion that you and I will continue over the next few weeks, no doubt with more guests and more thoughtful consideration of what is happening in other provinces and how that affects us here in Saskatchewan. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.